produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, I am Pastor George Emeka of South Africa, and the first assistant to our CEO and founder, Caleb Padgett. And you are listening to Victorious in Christ radio program with Dr. Ronald E. Rolfe Ministries.
I want to go to the book of Psalms and the 100 number of Psalm. The book of Psalms, the 100 number of Psalm. And I want to read that entire Psalm, beginning with verse 1 and concluding with verse 5. And then from there, I'm going to take you to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 1. Psalms 100, beginning with verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Now I want to go to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Again, Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I want to share with you briefly from the Word of God. Get ready for your Pentecost. Get ready for your Pentecost. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Almighty God. Get ready for your Pentecost. I want to serve notice on you that that subject alone should generate some enthusiasm and some anticipation as we get ready for our Pentecost. Unless you have not been informed, but on next Sunday, the church will celebrate what is known as Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is where we celebrate the gift and outpouring of the baptism of the Holy Ghost upon the early church there in the New Testament, as recorded in the book of Acts. It is God pouring out of himself his Holy Spirit upon those believers in that upper room. Jesus Christ has spent many days preparing his disciples to receive the heaven's precious gift, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Prior to ascending on high, he reminds them to go to Jerusalem and to tarry there till they be filled with the gift and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Perhaps you're wondering, why would I select Psalms 100 to merge with Acts chapter 2, verse 1? I want to share with you the relevance in that because it's really dependent upon how we come before God. The Bible reminds us in the book of Acts that how they were all with one accord while they were waiting on the promise from on high. In other words, they anticipated the gift and baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Bible reminds us of an attitude and position we should take when we're waiting to be filled with heaven's precious gift. Is it a gift given by God and to believers, and God wants to fill us with a part of himself? My sisters and my believers, my beloveds, my believers, my sisters and brothers in Christ, please do not live beneath the privilege of being filled with heaven's precious gift. I want you to know that God desires to dwell within you with the unctioning, with the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost doesn't come to make us run and make us shout, but the Holy Ghost comes because Christ wants to abide the more in you. I understand the Bible says that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, they are a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. I understand that. But Jesus Christ knew that the church, those early believers, would need something special from God to help them to carry on his ministry. He tells them that I'm going back to the Father, and I'm going to pray the Father that he would send you another comforter. This comforter would be known as the Spirit of Truth. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will teach you. He will bring things to your remembrance. So in obedience to Jesus, now these believers, these disciples, they go to Jerusalem and they go into this upper room. And while there, they are waiting and they are tarrying for the Holy Ghost. I remember even as a babe in Christ, how they would have what was known as tarry service. And that's how believers would come around the altar and how they would be seeking to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I even remember when we would have what is known as shut-ins or weekends with Christ, how the members of the church would show up on a Friday evening and how they would go behind closed doors in the church and how they would begin to have a prayer service and how they would begin to pray and call on the Lord and asking God to send more power and send the Holy Ghost upon them. There they would stay in the locked in church from Friday, maybe to sometimes on Saturday. And it was known as a shut-in because they wanted to do as the early church did. They wanted to be with one accord. But I told you why I wanted to now merge these scriptures of Psalms 100 along with Acts 2, because it is plain and it's simple as to an Acts how God now is getting ready to give the people of God the gift of the Holy Ghost. The book of Acts, it starts where the gospels end, and it shows how Jesus showed himself even after his resurrection among the people. Before he ascended on high, he reminds them to now, I need you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It is a promise given by the Father. And he says, I will go and pray the Father that he will send you this promise. The promise was made in the Old Testament when God spoke to the prophet Joel about how in the last days he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. But in the book of Psalms, it is something about this psalm that it gives us a sense of attitude that we should have when we enter the house of God. When we enter the house of God, we cannot enter in with a nonchalant attitude. We cannot enter in with an attitude of expectation, because God wants us to actively be involved in worship. I thank God for corporate worship. I thank God for how we gather. I thank God for how we obey the scriptures, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. I thank God that when they said, now let us go into the house of God, I was glad for that invitation. But also, I understand before I get to the house of God, I must have a sense of praise and worship. I reminded the saints that you can have the best church and the best worship when you're by yourself and you have those intimate moments with God. It's nobody there but you and God. You don't have to worry about the praise team or the music department or anybody with titles or ushers. You don't have to worry about the crowd, because it's just you and God having a personal moment. I don't know about you, but I value those personal moments with God. It is the best church I've ever had because I'm not worried about the time. I'm not worried about how I'm dressed. I'm not worried about what others may think or say. All I want to do is to feel the presence of the Almighty God. It is then when I begin to call on God. It is then when I go in prayer. It is then when I go into my prayer closet. It is then when I begin to experience the move of God on my life and on my soul. God reminds me then he comes in and there he's in the midst of my praise. And before you know it, I'm caught up in God's Shekinah glory. And it is there I'm giving God praise. I'm giving God thanks and just telling God how wonderful he is and how marvelous he is and how I adore him and how I just want to praise him and how I want him to be blessed and pleased with my life. It is in those moments I begin to understand that how personal my relationship has to be with God. It is in those personal moments we learn that God is with us and God will be there for us. It is in those personal moments how we retain them in our hearts and retain them in our spirits, because we begin to say, Lord, there's nobody like you. There's nobody like our God. There's nobody that can treat us better than our God. But now when I think about even in praising God and worshiping God, it's something about being among the saints. It's something about being in the presence of the children of God. When we come in and we want to give God praise and we want to give God glory, and we just want to thank God for blessing us to be in his service just one more time. Somebody said, oh, it's good to be in God's service just one more time, because I realize that one more time may be my last time. And if by chance it is my last time, I want God to be pleased with everything that I do. I want God to be pleased with my praise, because he reminds me in the Bible to let everything that have breath to praise the Lord. He reminds me that he inhabits the praises of his people. He reminds me that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when I see my sisters and brothers in the Lord, I get excited about the fact that we all have come together again to give God praise. But I'm also mindful of what the psalmist said in the book of Psalms, the 100 number of Psalms. I read it a moment ago. But the psalmist, he helps us to set the atmosphere. He helps us to set the ambiance for our worship and for our praise. Because you can't just come before God with any kind of attitude. You can't just come before God nonchalant. You can't come before God and say, well, let me just go through the motions and get this over. No, God deserves our best worship and our best praise, because he is that kind of God. He's the kind of God that would keep us and help us and abide with us. He's the type of God that will heal us and deliver us. He's the kind of God that expects the best praise that we have for him. So we perfect our praise. We give God the praise that we know how. We open up our mouths. We give God praise. We sing to his glory. We clap his hand. We clap our hands, because the Bible says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. So it's all about our attitude. And the psalmist in 100 Psalms, he tries to help us. This psalmist, he wants us to understand that whatever you get out of God, you got to first put something in. You got to come with the right sense of mind. You got to come with the right sense of attention with God. Give God, as we say, your undivided attention. How is my attention divided? It is that when I'm before God, I begin to think about my problems. I begin to think about all the other things I need to do and get done and the things I haven't done. I begin to have my thoughts clouded, but God wants our undivided attention. When we give God our undivided attention, he understands that we have need of these things. So the psalmist, he comes to help us. He comes to help us because the book of Psalms, it is known as the book of praise. It is known as the book of praise because throughout the Psalms, it tells us how to give God praise. It even tells us when to give God praise. It even tells us who should give God's praise. But it's something about this psalmist. He makes it more personal and more direct when he's talking to the people of God. Let me remind you what the psalmist says in Psalms 100. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. In other words, you got to open up your mouth and give God praise. He says, make a joyful noise. In other words, you got to have joy even in your praise. Things may not be going the way you want them to go, but he says, make a joyful noise. It is not the time to be quiet. It is not the time to hold back your amens. It's time to say, Lord, if it had not been for you on my side, I don't know where I would be. Lord, if it hadn't been for you to help me and to deliver me, because I reminded of what you told me, that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. And when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul has to cry out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. So I don't have a problem when he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. I'm in agreement with the psalmist when I need to give God a joyful noise. It doesn't mean everything is going right in your life. It doesn't mean that all your bills are paid. It doesn't mean that you receive the healing that you're seeking. It doesn't mean that you have received the deliverance that you're seeking. What it means is, in spite of what's going on in my life, I will not hold back my praise. Because when I hold back my praise, God is not pleased. So I have to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And then in verse 2, he says, serve the Lord with gladness. Oh my God, serve the Lord with gladness. People should be able to look upon your countenance and see that you enjoy living for God. How can we win souls to Christ, and how can we show God how much we appreciate him if we don't serve him with gladness? I don't know about you, but I'm glad that the Lord saved me. I'm glad that the Lord turned my life around. I'm glad that I'm not dead and in my grave. I'm glad that I'm no longer on my way to a devil's hell without God on my side. I'm glad that I can serve the Lord with gladness because I consider it a pleasure to serve him. I'm so glad that I serve him, but I serve him out of the gladness of my soul, because out of my belly, he told me, shall flow rivers of living water. He told me, out of my belly shall I draw water from the wells of salvation. So I serve the Lord with gladness. And then he says, come before his presence with singing. It's something about singing to God. It's something about singing his praise and having praise and worship. It serves to help usher in the spirit of God. I even read in Glory, when we get to heaven, there's singing and praising going on in heaven. Why? Because God made us. He said we were fearfully and wonderfully made. And this people have I made for myself, that they may show forth my praise of him who had brought them out of darkness into his marvelous light. So God is pleased with our praise. So when we come before him, we got to come before him with gladness and before his presence with singing. You may not be able to carry a note, but you should be able to open up your mouth and say, Lord, I still give you praise. And Lord, I still glorify your name. You may not be able to sing like you want to, but at least you can say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And thank God that I was blind, but now I see. So I come before his presence with singing, because I'm saying that you don't understand, and you may not know what God has done for me. But you have to understand that we don't look like what we've been through. When you look out the back door of your life and you think about, it was nobody but God that helped you. It was nobody but God that kept you. The enemy tried to destroy you. He tried to kill you, but it was nobody but God that kept you. And because of that, we come before his presence with singing. And then the Bible says to know ye that the Lord, he is God. In other words, ain't nobody God but God. Nobody can take the place of God. Nobody has the power like God, because even his son Jesus said that all power is given unto him. And God has the power to turn your life around right now, but you got to set the atmosphere for the power of God to operate in your life. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us. In other words, again, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says, he said, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. I knew who you are. I even know the hairs that are on your head. I know your frame because I know how I made you. And the Bible again says, it is he that hath made us. In other words, when God made you. He made you to be a praiser. He made you to be a worshiper. And when we do anything less than that, we violate the purpose of God, because the Bible says, and we know that all things work together to the good of them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. The Bible reminds us that he which had begun a good work in you, he will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, you have a purpose in life, and that purpose is to give God praise. That purpose is to worship God even when nobody else would worship him. Because I'm reminded of when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem and how the crowd, how they were praising him and worshiping him, and how the Pharisees and the scribes, they said, Master, make these be quiet. And Jesus said, if they were to hold their peace, he said, even the stones would cry out. But I want you to understand that I would never let a stone cry out for me. I would never let a rock cry out for me, because you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. God has been so good to us, and God has blessed us, and God has kept us, and the only thing God wants us to do is just give him praise. And you gotta have an anyhow praise in your mind. You gotta have an anyhow praise in your life, because when I have an anyhow praise, I'm getting ready for my Pentecost. And when I get ready for my Pentecost, I want God to understand that, Lord, I want more of you, and I need more of you in my life, because oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. In fact, he's so good, he's sweeter than the honey out of the honeycomb. And the Bible says, it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves, and we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. In other words, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He told me in his word that he will be with me forever and ever. And long as I've got God with me, as long as he's ordering my steps, as long as God is keeping me, as long as God is watching over me, I at least gotta give him praise. In other words, when I woke up this morning, I woke up with a praise on my mind and saying, Lord, I thank you for watching over me over the night, because you told me that he that watcheth over Israel, he neither sleeps nor slumber. And while you were resting in your bed, and while you were sleeping in your home, ambulances rolled down the street and fire trucks rolled down the street, but not one came to your house. And for that, you ought to say, Lord, thank you that you didn't allow terror to enter into my home. You didn't allow death to enter into my house. And because of that, Lord, I know I have to give you praise, because you are my shepherd and I am the sheep of your pasture. And then to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. There it is right there. God is saying that when you come to my house, when you come before my throne, I want you to enter into my gates with thanksgiving. When you pulled up on the lot, you should have said, thank you, Lord. I made it safely to your house. When I get out of my car and walk into the vestibule, I'd have said, thank you, Lord. You allowed me to enter into your house. When I enter into the sanctuary, I have to say, thank you, Lord. I'm glad to be in your service just one more time before they say a prayer, before they read a scripture, before they sing a song, before they preach the word. I gotta enter into your gates with thanksgiving because, Lord, I thank you. You said in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And right now I challenge you to open up your mouth and just say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for all you've done. I thank you for what you're going to do. I thank you for how you've kept me. I thank you for how you kept my family. I thank you for how you made a way. Because if it had not been for you, Lord, but I learned, Lord, to look to the hills from which cometh my help. For all of my help, it comes from the Lord that made the heavens and the earth. And when the enemy shall come in like a flood, I'm so glad that the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. I'm so glad that when I enter into his gates, that means I'm coming before his presence. And I know God is everywhere. And I know God is everywhere at the same time. But it's something about his house. It's something about coming before his presence. I gotta come in with the right attitude. I gotta come in with the right frame of mind. I gotta come in with the right praise. I gotta come in with thoughtfulness and say, Lord, there you go again. You did it again for me, because you're the same yesterday and today and forever. You're the Lord God that changed not. And I thank you, Lord. The grass may wither it and the flower may fade it, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And I thank you, Lord, that I can stand on your promises, because all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. And I can say, amen, amen, Lord. When I open up my mouth, my praise is saying amen. When I clap my hands, my clap is saying amen. When I praise him in the dance, my dance is saying amen. When I shout hallelujah, my hallelujah is saying amen. When I say thank you, Jesus, is saying amen. Well, what is it about an amen? It means so be it. It means truly, truly. It means verily, verily. In other words, everything that I expect from God, I'm saying amen as I enter his gates, because he told me in his word, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we may ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Well, what is that power? That no weapon that's formed against you, it will not prosper. What is that power? He said, I've given you power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions. So when I enter into his gates, I'm saying, devil, you thought you had me, but God was with me. You thought you were going to destroy me, but God kept me. And now unto him that is able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. And I'm so glad that as I come before him, as you come before him, you gotta say, Lord, I have to give you thanks. I have to give you praise, because you told me, Lord, to enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. Wait a minute, God. At first I was at your gates, now I'm at your court. That means I'm getting closer. I'm getting closer to my miracle. I'm getting closer to my Pentecost. I'm getting closer to my God, because the closer I get to him, the closer he gets to me. You were at the gate, but he said, come on in. I heard somebody said, come on over here where the feast of the Lord is going on. Come on over here. You better come on on the inside. And when you come on in the inside, I heard somebody say it'll be something on the inside working on the outside. And oh, what a change in my life. So enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now open your mouth right now and begin to bless his name. Begin to bless his name and say, Lord, I bless your name. Say, Lord, I glorify your name. And say, Lord, I lift you up. I lift you higher than where you are right now. Because the more I lift him up, the more he'll lift me up. He'll reach way down in my mess. He'll reach way down in my problem. And as I begin to praise him, as I begin to lift him up, God would be in the midst. God would be with me as I enter into his gates, as I enter into his courts. I got to tell him thank you. I have to bless his name. Well, what is his name? His name is Elohim. Somebody shout Elohim. His name is El Shaddai. Somebody shout El Shaddai. His name is Yahweh. Somebody shout Yahweh. His name is Jehovah. Somebody shout Jehovah. His name is Abba. He is the Father. Somebody shout Father. Somebody said, I look to the hills. Somebody else said, I stretch my hands to thee, O Lord. Well, what is his name? His name is Jehovah Jireh. Somebody shout Jehovah Jireh. His name is Jehovah Shalom. Somebody shout Jehovah Shalom. His name is Jehovah Tishinu. Somebody shout Jehovah Tishinu. If you can't remember that, then shout Jesus. His name is Jesus. It's something about that name. It calms my fears. It soothes my doubts when I call on the name of Jesus. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. It's something about the name Jesus that demons tremble at the sound of that name. It's something about the name of Jesus. I can lay hands on the sick and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. It's something about the name of Jesus. I can cast the devil out. I can say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. It's something about the name of Jesus. The more I call his name, the better I feel. The more I call his name, the happier I get. The more I call his name, he shows up in my life. Because when you call on Jesus, he will answer prayer. When you call on Jesus, he will be right there. And I challenge you right now to say, Jesus, say it again, say Jesus. Come on, Jesus. They taught me growing up in the sanctified church as a babe on the altar. They say you gotta call him. You gotta call on his name, because he will answer. He told us in his word, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble them pray themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from them. I will forgive their sin and I will heal the land. And I'm saying, Lord, in the name of Jesus, as I get ready for my Pentecost, I want you to heal the land. Heal the land, Lord. Even in Texas, Lord. Heal the land, Lord. In Buffalo, New York, Lord. Heal the land, Lord. Bind the pale horse. Bind death, oh God, as we get ready, Lord, for our Pentecost. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Bind it now, Lord. Bind that suicide demon. Bind it, Lord. Bind sickness in the land. We call your name Elohim, the God Almighty, El Shaddai, the breasted one, Yahweh, the only true God, Yahweh, the only wise God. Yes, Lord, Jehovah God, you are Jehovah. You're Jehovah Jireh. You will provide. You're Jehovah Shalom. You are our peace. You're Jehovah Tishinu. You You are our banner. You're Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. You're Jehovah Rahi, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. But I got a name as I get ready now for my Pentecost. I gotta leave you now, but the Lord is good. He is merciful. He is everlasting. Yes, he is. And his truth endureth to all generations. So when we enter before the Lord with the right attitude, when we enter before the Lord with the right thanksgiving, when we enter before the Lord with the right praise, you're getting ready now. You're getting ready for your Pentecost. Well, what is the Pentecost? It is God giving us his Holy Spirit. It is God filling us with the Holy Ghost. It is God moving in this place. And I'm saying, Lord, move in this house. Move in your house. Move on these pews. Move on every heart. Take out the stony heart and give a heart of flesh. Do it right now, Lord. You said, oh God, you will pour out of yourself. You will pour out of your spirit. And I'm saying, rain on us, Lord. Let it rain, oh God. Send down the latter rain. Send down the Holy Ghost. Send it like never before. We need your spirit, not by power, not by might, but by your spirit. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh. Fall afresh on us. We know there's one baptism, but many fillings. And fill us again, Lord. We're getting ready now. We're getting ready, oh God. We know Pentecost is on the way, but I cannot wait. I'm like a heart that panteth out of the water brook. My soul is thirsty. You told me, oh God, blessed are they which do thirst and hunger after righteousness. They shall be filled. You told us, oh God, that you would fill us. Now do it now, Lord. Fill every believer. Believers, open up your mouth. They were all in one accord. That one accord means they were calling on the name of God and saying, Lord, I know you can. And Lord, I know you will. You did it before. You'll do it again. Now, Lord, I need another again. Another again. And another again. And another again. What is another again? It is the pouring out of your spirit. It is you coming to more in my life. It is you having your will in my life. It's more of your anointing. Anoint us, oh God. The anointing that destroys. That destroys the yoke. The anointing, oh God, that will let one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000. 10,000 to flight. Now lay hands on yourself and say, because of the anointing of God, I'm getting ready now for my Pentecost. But Lord, I want to make sure my heart is right, my mind is right, and my soul is right. And if there's anything in my heart that should not be, wash me, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord. Do it now, Lord. Because Lord, I want another feeling. Because Lord, I want you to more. I love, Lord, your spirit. I love, Lord, your son. I love you as my father. Now, Lord, one for the father. Now, Lord, one for the son. Now, Lord, one for the Holy Ghost. They all make one. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. I receive it now. Now reach up now and reach up by faith and say, Lord, I'm reaching, Lord, for more of you. I'm reaching, Lord, for more of the anointing. I'm reaching, Lord. I'm reaching because, Lord, you told me if I would just ask anything in your name, and it is in your will. It is in your will for we to be filled. It is in your will for every believer to be filled with your spirit. Now, Lord, touch the believers. Touch those that are viewing. Touch, Lord, from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Touch them, Lord, with every fiber of their being. Touch them, Lord. Touch them in the mind. Touch the mind, Lord. Touch the soul, Lord. Touch the spirit, Lord. Touch the will, Lord. Not our will, but thy will be done. Touch, touch, touch. Do it now, Lord. And Lord, let everybody know that God is working on me. That God is filling me. Because God, when you do it, the devil can't say that it was not done. Because God, you have the power. Because God, you have the spirit. Because God, without you, Lord, I cannot do it by myself. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, Lord, I thank you. I praise you. Oh, yes, Lord. I thank you. I praise you. It is so. Shout, it is so. It is so. I'm ready now. I'm ready now for my Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all one place in one accord. We're all on one accord now because my mind is fixed. My heart is made up. I'm with one accord. What is that one accord? I'm saying, Lord, have your way. I'm saying, Lord, do it now. I'm saying, Lord, make the devil behave. I'm saying, Lord, heal the sick. Now stretch out your hands to everybody in your area. Those that you are viewing, stretch out your hands and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, it is so. In the name of Jesus, they are healed. In the name of Jesus, they are delivered. In the name of Jesus, they are filled with the Holy Ghost. Now give God praise. Now come on, give him praise like never before. Begin to give your God praise. Because can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody help you like Jesus. Can't nobody bless you like Jesus. Now come on, give him praise. Come on, praise him. Come on, give him praise. When you let go, when you let God have his way, I know you got others around you, but when it comes to worshiping God, yes, we have this togetherness when we come together. But no believer, whether in person or virtually, should become stoic to the word of God. No believer can just sit down on the word of God. No believer, when God is in his house, can you just sit there? It's something about standing before his presence. It's something because you can't sit to enter into his gates. When you enter into his gates, that means you got to be standing. When you enter into his gates with thanksgiving, to his courts with praise, that means you had to put forth effort to get to him. You had to put forth an effort to come before his presence. So when you come before his presence, regardless of what's going on in your life right now, regardless of how you may feel in your body, none of us, we're dealing with something. On your wellness day, you're sick enough to die. But even on your sick day, somebody said, if I couldn't say a word, I'd just wave my hand. Even when you're not at the best moment in your life, you got to be willing to say, Lord, in spite of what it looks like, in spite of what it feels like, I owe you the best praise I have. I owe you the best thanksgiving that I have. Don't allow the devil to steal your joy and to steal your things. He only wants to steal it because it's valuable. But don't go from being a victim to becoming a volunteer. Don't just sit down on him. And I want everybody under the sound of my voice now to stand. Stand. See how easy that was? Unless you are physically unable to stand, everybody was able to stand. Which lets me know, and lets the Holy Spirit know, you can do it if you want to. God will not make you do anything that you don't want to do. He's that kind of God. He will not make you praise him. He will not make you thank him. Now, he allowed things to become challenging in your life to where you wish you had given him thanks and praise like you should. But right now, in your own way, let's be with one accord and begin to open up your mouth and give him the fruit of your lips. Come on, open up your mouth and give him the fruit of your lips. Come on, church. Open up your mouth. Come on. What do you want to say to him? What do you want to say to God right now? Open up your mouth. Come on. Open up your mouth. Come on. That's how you get ready for your Pentecost. You open up your mouth. You don't sit with a closed mouth. You open up your mouth and forget about those that are around you. I'm not going to tell you to close your eyes because we watch as well as pray. But just open up your mouth. It's between you and God right now. You set your own atmosphere. You set your own ambiance and do it now. How much do you want it? How bad do you want it? How sincerely do you need it? How sincerely do you want it? And your praise is based upon your need. Your praise right now is based upon your need. When you open up your mouth and begin to praise him, he'll fulfill that need. I know he will. You can get more out of God by thanking him than you can by begging him. So when you begin to open up your mouth and give him praise and give him glory, he's doing it right now. Come on, he's doing it right now for you. Yes, he is. He's doing it right now. The Holy Ghost is moving right now. The Holy Spirit is moving right now. The Holy Spirit is blessing right now. The Holy Spirit is healing right now. Come on, he's healing right now. Come on, he's healing right now. Lay your hands on yourself and say, I am healed. Come on, I am healed. I am healed. I'm healed. Lay your hands on yourself and say, I'm delivered. I am delivered. By the power of the Almighty God, I am delivered. I am healed. Say right now, every need in my life shall be met. Every need in my life shall be met. Come on, open up your mouth and say it. Don't let the devil defeat you like that. Speak those things that be not as though they were. Open up your mouth, a child of God, and say, every need is being met right now. Doors are being opened right now. If the devil tries to shut the door, he said, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings. You won't have room enough to receive. Now, come on, open up your mouth and say, Lord, I thank you.
Saves. lie. Or a cheater. Don't leave. Cheater saves. Cheater saves. Maybe you need to go and get a friend. Go and grab a name. Tell him that he saves. Cheater saves. I'ma say it again. If you're alive, maybe vanity, maybe vanity. Cheater saves. Cheater saves. Oh, go out and get a friend. Pick up a neighbor. The word out on the street is that he saves. Cheater saves. From the gallows to the utmost.
By Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.